Welcome to another episode of the Solar Power Hour. My name is William Grant. I have been in the solar industry for going on 12 years now. 7 years with dealing with residential solar. 4 years prior, I was an electrical engineer for a part of my life. And I've owned Sun Collectors, a local solar company here in Peoria, Illinois, for the last 6 years. My co-host here, Austin, I will let him introduce himself.
Hello, everyone. This is Austin Berry, your co-host with the Solar Power Hour. I've been in the industry for 5 years now, and so, you know, with a local flavor, I'm born here in Peoria, so happy to be part of the company that started here in Peoria and has been making absolute waves. A little bit about myself, you know, went to Richwoods and then Bradley University. Did not necessarily know anything about solar upon picking my nursing major way back in the day, but, you know, as life would have it, you know, different twists and turns, and I could not be happier to, you know, be representing this company. But I think I've installed probably, I'm going to say about 350 local customers or families here now, which has just been awesome because it kind of keeps growing.
Absolutely. So today we have a very, very interesting podcast for you. It might run a little bit longer than our previous ones. It's going to be about the investment tax credit, the Inflation Reduction Act, the SREC program, and everything in between. And Austin and I actually spent 20 minutes here trying to figure out how we navigate this conversation to appease everyone. And keep in mind, a lot of things that we're going to be talking about are speculation, but it does come from our experience in the solar industry and what we've seen in the past, because we, you know, we eat, sleep, and breathe solar. Everything we do is about this industry. So keep that in mind, that it is a little bit of speculation. It is on past experiences, our personal opinions, and our personal experiences. We're just going to try to put people at ease. There is a lot of concern out there with the current policy changes and things that are going on with the current policies. And we just want to educate and try to put people's minds at ease.
Correct. And I mean, there's always going to be a difficult path to navigate, especially when we're not the ones that are per se in control of all the things that are being passed per se. And so again, just to really reinforce what Will just said there, our job is to educate. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward. And so again, take everything with speculation, but also we've been doing this long enough to have a pretty good standpoint or which direction things are going to move. And obviously nothing's going to stay the same forever, but all we can do is roll with the facts and figures as we have them. And so again, thank you for listening in today, because this is a very, very, you know, informative or have a lot of very informational podcast. There we go. This one's just going to be a little bit more nitty gritty, but also again, very, very important for, you know, the future of solar, especially on a local and possibly, you know, a national level.
Absolutely. So let's go way back. As it stood when we first started out in solar, the investment tax credit, and I didn't fact check this, it would either be gone altogether by now or at 10% with the way it stood in the previous legislation, right?
It was a correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a 4% decrease whenever it was happening. It went from 30 to 26 down to 22, and then I believe it was going to drop down to 10 or something of that nature.
It was, and it might have been just 10 for commercial. There were some things that happened there. I haven't kept up too much with it because going on 6 years ago, it was extended to 30% for quite some time. And that's something that happened under an older administration. And it's pointing to the fact that solar has a viable place in the U.S. economy as well as the U.S. power grid. You know, fast forwarding a little bit, it did get extended. And what we're going up against now, or not even going up against, but what the reality of the situation is that the investment tax credit did get lumped into the Inflation Reduction Act. And so with the current pause on the Inflation Reduction Act, there are valid concerns from consumers, from people in the industry. Just to give some clarification on that, there is concern with us as well, but there is a lot of optimism. You know, there's a big push for multiple different things, including manufacturing, U.S. jobs, power rate reduction, increase in power production. And so I'll let Austin talk a little bit about that and see where it goes.
For sure. And so, again, right now with the state of things, again, I don't mean to be a broken record, but with the word speculation being thrown out, also know that there's enough, you know, history can repeat itself very easily. And so from an optimistic standpoint, again, with administration, everything new that's happening, there is still a very bright future for solar moving forward. It's just a matter of how is that path going to necessarily be laid out, or what legislation is actually going to make that, you know, what it is. But again, it's not as if though we're going to wake up tomorrow and solar is just going to not be here. It's just going to be constructed a little bit differently, possibly. But in terms of, you know, on a funding level or, you know, incentive level, it's, we're very optimistic still, but again, it's just going to be what physically is signed or what actually becomes, you know, what we have to abide by. And that's something that I would say, you know, as a testament to our company, we've always had to do. We've always been very adaptable. You know, not everything has always been, no pun intended, but sunshine and rainbows per se. But, you know, Illinois is no stranger to that. We had our, is it the net metering program was,
the SREC program shut down during COVID because they couldn't meet in person to get any legislation done, for sure.
Correct. And so it wouldn't be our first trial or tribulation that we've seen or overcome. And so again, it's always darkest right before the dawn sometimes. And that's, again, not to paint this in a negative picture, but again, just with an industry like this, where it's so based off of legislation, there are times where, you know, things might seem a little bit more up in the air, but I think what we've managed to find time after time is that it still ends up being okay. And, you know, it's not always going to be the exact same year after year. Again, as we were just discussing, the tax credit was set to be at a decreasing rate. And then they came out a couple of years after and said, hey, we're actually going to revamp this back up to 30%, which was a massive benefit for all of our, you know, our families that we've been able to help out so far. So again, everything right now is just us trying to sift through everything and make sure that we have the best information possible. But also at the same point in time, I do look in to the future of solar optimistically, especially over the next year or two. I think with our administration currently, they still see a lot of positive in green energy. And so I don't think that there's any axe or hammer coming down anytime soon. So for anyone that we have helped out prior or that is thinking about doing this, because I've had plenty of customers reach out to me already and they're, I don't want to use the word frantic, but they are curious and they do want to know and, you know, make sure that they have that security. And so as of right now, I can only say that we have nothing but, you know, everyone that is getting the federal tax credit or has already signed up for these incentives, they're fine. But then we also have good reason to believe that there's a balancing act moving forward to make sure that if something were to happen, it will be compensated in another way. And I think that that's about as much peace of mind as anyone could really ask for. I guess kind of going back off to what you were saying here. So in terms of, you know, just rates and what's going on, there's a ton of, I'm sure everyone's heard AI a million times now in the last week or two, but there's so much infrastructure change coming to the U.S. And so not only on a global scale, but to really focus it in on our country here, it's massive. And so I think the U.S., based off the articles I've read recently, there's a $500 billion, man, we're not that much in debt yet, $500 billion investment coming up for data centers here in the U.S. And so I think that where we're heading right now, it's going to be about a 10% increase on our grid and what that's consuming.
Absolutely. And I think looking back in the past, I don't think anyone ever could have expected the electrification of the country to happen the way it has. When you're talking about even granular things like your electric heat for your house, right? A lot of people went to geothermal. A lot of people are doing heat pumps because they're a little bit more efficient. That's a lot of electricity. Beyond that, the electric vehicles. I mean, the EV market has taken over and everyone's seen it. Everybody sees the new, I'm sure you're going to see it in the Super Bowl commercials. All the car companies are going to have an EV out there. And that's a lot of power demand on the grid. And then we're talking about data centers. Then you're talking about increase in population. And you're talking about increase in business needs, increase in electricity everywhere, right? So I don't think that was ever in anyone's mind going back years and years ago. I don't think anyone could have saw this storm coming. And I think that even points to a bigger reason why solar has its place here. You know, even as someone that runs a solar company and, you know, has long hair, maybe looks like a hippie, but I do believe in doing what's best for the people, right? And I don't think that 100% solar is the answer. I don't think 100% wind is the answer, 100% coal, 100% nuclear. There has to be, like you said, a balancing act between everything. Mm. And so when we're looking at the future of solar and the jobs it's created and the manufacturing facilities that have moved here due to the Inflation Reduction Act, because people would potentially get a bigger tax credit if they use only American-made materials, I don't see that going away anytime soon. Now, there is a potential that the Inflation Reduction Act gets gutted right? Or it changes quite a bit. But one of the most valid and viable reasons why people can go solar is subsidies, right? And let's be honest, without subsidies, solar would not be the best option in a state like Illinois. But the reason why it's a better option long term is because when we are looking at finite resources and increasing costs for things and increasing electrification, what a solar facility or a home or a business is able to do is push power back to the grid when the demand is high. Middle of the day, towards the end of the day, when everybody starts using their power, that power is able to be sent back to the grid and help offset the demand in that area. And so there is always going to be a place for renewable energy. And I really, really don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be news coming out here in the next little bit about multiple different things. But I just want to try to ease people's minds and let them know that things like this happen. Unfortunately, we are in a very, very political and very, very annoying market sometimes. But the numbers that we show people and the return on investment we're able to give people and the warranties and the backing that up is way, way more valuable than anything that the power company has been able to offer them as far as their your piggy bank and what they're able to save.
I will say, just talking about the incentives, and so the Illinois Shines program, and so this is, you know, we've touched on this briefly before, but, you know, for anyone that's that this is new information, this is very, very vital information as well. And this is what really sets Illinois apart from other states in terms of why solar is so feasible here. There's the tax credit, which covers a solid 30% of everyone's system costs. That's just right across the board. You know, $100,000, $30,000 flat is coming right back to you. Very simple math. The other incentive, though, is based off your production over the next 15 years or so. And what that incentive does is it pays their customers up front a one-time check. And all they're doing is ensuring that their system stays up and producing for the next 15 years. But that's because of the legislation that Illinois has been abiding by and because of these mandate needs that Illinois is pushing towards. I cannot tell you how cool it was, but 2 days ago, I just had one of my customers get that check in the mail. It was a little over $20,000, which is a pretty good chunk of their system, but they were ecstatic. And so he had to ask, he's like, hey, just want to make sure this is real and this is legit, because a lot of times when people think of, you know, estate and funding, they might not necessarily go hand in hand, but it's very real. It's very legitimate. And it's a huge reason as to why solar is feasible right now. And obviously, you know, with all politics aside, that money is there. And so, you know, everyone has their predispositions about, you know, how things may work one way or another. I always ask to humbly put those predispositions aside, because it doesn't matter necessarily what you think. That money is real and that money is tangible. And the idea is, you know, again, if you can put those forethoughts by the side per se and be open-minded, there is a amazing amount of incentives that are available, and solar is very feasible for a lot of people that didn't necessarily think so. Mm-hmm. And so again, it is all about education, but that was very cool just to have that picture sent to me. And he's like, hey, I just want to make sure this is actually legitimate. And 100%, I can't say that I've ever had a customer not get their money from that program now at this point, which has been pretty sweet.
Absolutely. The program is very, very real. It was when we first got out here 6 years ago and, you know, talking to people, no one believed that they could get a check from the Illinois Power Agency, right? Or anything that had to do with the Illinois government. But it is real. The honesty of it is it's coming from your own pocket. Right? There's a lot of taxes and fees down at the bottom of your power bill. We're all paying in pots of money that we can then take from to do something like solar. The great thing about it, though, is when you take action and you're able to go solar, most of those taxes and fees do go away, because you're offsetting that cost. And if you look down at the bottom of your power bill in most areas, not even just Illinois, you will see that most of the fees and taxes are based on how much power you draw from the grid. And so that's the beautiful thing about it. It's like one hand washing the other. And same thing with jobs. I mean, you're thinking about how many people are employed just not only in Peoria, but Illinois in general with solar, right? Whether it be the installers, whether it be the technicians, whether it be the designers, you know, the sales reps, anything along those lines, there is a ton of people employed through solar programs. It is stimulating the economy. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why it will not go away anytime soon. And it has to be viable for the people, right? And keep in mind, when you think about solar tax credits or the investment tax credit from solar, you are not taking tax dollars away from your neighbor, right? The only way you would even be able to qualify for solar is if you were able to be able to take advantage of that tax credit, meaning that you pay enough money into taxes in a fiscal year to be able to pull some of that out. Mm. And while I'm talking about that, I do want to point out that last year's fiscal year is over under the last administration, meaning that there is not a huge concern or really any concern that if you went solar last year and got installed last year and you were trying to do your taxes in April of this year, 2025, there is very, very little reason to be concerned. That was a lot. That was the last fiscal year under a last administration. Please do not be concerned.
And I do kind of want to touch on that a little bit as well, because I think a very important point to highlight is you don't necessarily have to have that taxable liability all within 1 year. They have broken it up to where you are able to receive that entire tax credit back over multiple years if need be. And so if you're, you know, just paying out the wazoo in federal taxes, I'm sorry to hear that. You very easily will probably get the better majority, if not all of it, back within the first year. But they do also have it set up to where if your taxable liability isn't necessarily as high, you are still able to recoup that entire amount over a segmented amount of years. And so they really do have it set up to where you're going to get that big incentive from the state relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to recoup that federal tax credit all up at once, or, you know, as quickly as you're able to. And again, the government's never going to give you, you know, essentially free money. There's always going to be some sort of attachment, unfortunately. But with this one, you're not really getting free money. You're just getting your own money back, which is a really, really brilliant way to think about it. Instead of that money going to, you know, fix a pothole that never gets really fixed here in Illinois, you're putting it towards an asset on your house that's building equity. It's giving you that security against brownouts. It's allowing you to have power whenever the grid goes down. It's allowing you to receive that lowered power bill every month for the next, I don't know, 30 to 40 years. And so it's little things like that that definitely make it worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And talking about the Illinois policy as it stands, and I was talking to a gentleman from Carbon Solutions Group, who is an SREC broker, or the Illinois Shines incentive broker, so to speak. And he was mentioning to me that the program is designed in a way to offset the cost and make it economically feasible for people to go solar, which in my head, that feels like a double-edged sword for the future, right? So if something does happen to the investment tax credit and it goes down, I don't think it'll go away altogether, but if it does go down, the program is made in such a way that it should adjust for that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking as the last block of the SREC program did close down here recently. So we'll get the new pricing in April. And what I've been told is that it could swing one way or the other. It could go up a little bit or down a little bit. The idea of the program is to still make it economically feasible. With the net metering program changing so drastically, it still has to make sense monetarily for people. And so there is also a chance that it could go up a little bit. And with that being said, the concern becomes, if we're paying for this incentive on the state level, which we are, and the economics of solar in general start to diminish, the only way to fix that is to increase the program funding, which then increases your bills. And even regardless of the solar changes and trying to go 100% renewable by 2050, the power rates have not gone down. They have been going up on average 10% a year on Ameren's side. I can't speak to ComEd. I don't do the research there too much. But on Ameren's side, they've been going up around 10% per year. And that's regardless of the other fees and everything else that they keep adding into your bill. And honestly, I think that the way that the cookie is going to crumble, like it has in multiple different states, is we're going to go to time of use rates. Mm. You want to talk a little bit about that, Austin?
Yeah. And so, again, just to get really specific on everyone's Ameren bill, if you really wanted to see, you know, on a fiscal sense, what you're actually contributing, they do break it down. And it's, you know, typically when everyone gets their Ameren bill, they look at that top right number. If they don't have it set up on auto pay, some people don't even see it. But just if anyone was truly curious as to, hey, what am I actually spending into this? If you go onto the second page, there's the state and local taxes and other mandated charges. And if you break that down compared to the last 5 years, mm-hmm. you will only see more and more of those programs being implemented. There's a flyer that we show that we have printed out directly from Ameren's website. And on the bottom there, it says, how will this legislation impact my energy bill moving forward? And it literally says, as more and more provisions are added, our rates are simply going to increase. So Ameren has been kind enough to put it in black and white for us, but also, again, you can see on a, you know, monthly level what you're contributing into these programs. And I do think that that's also very blatant information that it can be harsh to hear, but also very important to hear as well. Mm-hmm. People are paying for solar one way or another. Whether they get panels up on their roof or not, it really makes no difference to Ameren, because Ameren, they're a for-profit entity. They're going to take on this funding one way or another. Again, it is at the, unfortunately, the cost of the consumer. But I do think that, again, if anyone's truly curious or wanting to look into what they're actually paying, you can take that and look into it. Now, time of use rates, I think it's going to be major moving forward. Just with, you know, with peak hours, Ameren's going to be looking at when there's going to be the most stress on the grid or when they are pushing the most power out. And so what Ameren does to get around that is during those times, they actually have higher rates. And so, you know, again, just piggybacking off of why is solar only more, you know, viable as we go forward, owning your power, guys, is the whole key here. I don't need to explain to you, if you own your home, you own the cars in your driveway, if you own damn near everything except for your electricity at this point, it's just the last piece to the puzzle. You guys currently are renting your power, and that's fine, but Ameren does not create power. They simply are a delivery service. And so that is where a lot of these fees are coming from. Again, time of use rates are going to heavily impact us, I would say, over 2026, if not sooner, because you are simply going to be getting charged more for the same power that you'd be using, but just at a different point of the day. And so just to kind of tie that into where we help, or what our, you know, what we bring to the table there, is the ability to A, produce your own power throughout the entire day. And then if you have your home energy or backup battery, that is being charged. And then so instead of being subjected to higher rates whenever, you know, the family gets home, the kids are getting off the school bus, the stove gets going, you know, the whole house is in operation. Instead of getting nickeled and dimed by the power company, you're now discharging your own power that you've created, giving you that independency or that freedom or that sense of independence from the power company. And so it's just being proactive versus reactive. And again, the writing on the wall is that time of use rates are definitely going to be, they're at our doorstep now, but it is going to, you're going to see it very heavily impacting your bills, because the same rates that you would have been paying are now going to be higher for the same power. And it's just because it's a different time of the day.
For sure. Let's talk about why that is. So when the energy needs are high for a state or a city or a neighborhood, and they do fluctuate quite a bit, and no one could ever accounted for the demand that we have. If you look at California and some of their major issues, including the wildfires, a lot of those things are caused by surges. So we need to levelize our power. We can't just produce it with coal. We can't just produce it with nuclear. We can't just produce it with solar and wind. It needs to be levelized. And that's the beautiful thing about solar, is that we know when the sun's going to be up. We know how long it's going to be up. And with these smart grids and smart meters, we're able to send the power when we need it and to prevent things like surges. But unfortunately, things like brownouts and blackouts could very well be a thing. Ameren's already warned us about that months and months and months ago. And so when you're looking at something like that and you think about batteries and what you're able to do with that and storing your power at the lower demand times when your home is overproducing and then putting it back into your home at those high peak times, you are helping be a solution to the problem, right? When those the peaks happen, if it's a cloudy day or when the sun stops shining or the wind stops blowing, the demand on the grid is still there. It's still really, really there. And we have to make up for that somehow. And so you doing your part by putting a battery in your home, storing the energy at a lower demand time, putting it out at a higher demand time, you are essentially helping fix the issue that we are going to have. And again, the demand is going to keep getting higher and higher and higher. It's so crazy to me that we're expecting such an increase on the U.S. demand for electricity.
And I mean, if I may, so just as someone that's in people's homes all day long, I only see this firsthand more and more. EVs are only becoming more popular. People that are settling down in their homes know that they're going to be adding upgrades. Everyone wants that jacuzzi at some point. But nothing that I've seen sitting in people's homes over the last four, going on 5 years now, has indicated that people are going to consume less power. Mm-hmm. People are having more kids. People are going to plug more things in. And so just naturally, of the way that the world is progressing, it makes sense. There's really two alternatives. You are A, just subjected to whatever the power company charges you, because that's, you know, what everyone does whenever you purchase a home. It's just the natural thing to do. Or B, you can own your own power and be, you know, independent in a sense. And again, I do really abide by the fact that solar is a luxury in a sense, because there's a lot of things that can, you know, not necessarily make a family a good fit or a home a good fit per se. And so it's for the houses out there that really can take advantage. The incentives line up. You know that the timeline makes sense, that it's almost a no-brainer every time. And again, that's what our whole purpose here to do is, A, obviously we're going to bring you guys the hard information. It's not always easy to talk about stuff like this whenever, you know, I would love just to say optimistically that everything is perfect in solar moving forward, but also at the same point in time, if there's anything we've learned, it's that we're going to rumble with any of the punches that we get, and we're always going to come out and adapt and be well. But at the same point in time, guys, now is the time to do this more than ever, especially because of what they've laid out in front of us. The federal tax credit, Illinois Shines, and the battery incentive that has recently rolled out, they are all still here. The numbers still look absolutely amazing. But again, it's just about being open-minded and seeing if it's a good fit or not.
Absolutely. On some good news for the solar industry for Illinois, did you see that Chicago is powering a lot, or maybe all of their municipality buildings, and maybe some of the skyscrapers with a massive solar field is being built right now?
Really?
Uh-huh.
Not seen that. So the solar field obviously will be up kind of near their area then, I presume? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very nice.
Kind of like the Wynn and Encore in Vegas. So yeah, but keep in mind, everyone, when you say something like that, that doesn't mean that they have a battery facility to store all that power to use it. Power is a flow, just like water. Wherever is needed, it's going to go. Wherever it comes from, it's going to push at a higher capacity, let's say. So it's those headlines are nice and all, but it's still power going to anywhere that's needed. Mm. Everybody didn't disconnect from the grid in downtown Chicago. So it's just one of those funny things that people really do need to understand that solar has a place here. I would not be concerned if I was you about going solar this year. I think that everything is going to be A-OK with getting your tax credit. I think that the current administration is looking to move fast on making sure that things happen quickly. And on that note as well, there are a lot of checks and balances in our federal government, as well as any government. So just because something's on pause or just because something's happening now doesn't mean that it's going to go all the way to where someone might fear it to go. There are a lot of things that could happen in the next little bit, but I really do not think that solar is going anywhere. And I think that if you sign up for solar and you get installed before anything happens, you are going to be A-OK. They're not going to go back on their word and back on a policy that's been written and a law that's been written. That's just not how we've operated in the past, and I don't see that's going to be how we're going to operate in the future as a country as a whole.
Even more importantly, on a local level, Sun Collectors will always take care of its customers, and I cannot express that enough. We've got Oasis Electric to back up our installs and, you know, even other companies' installs, but it's more so the idea that, you know, solar is more times than not a much better alternative compared to sticking with the power company. And really from that point, it's just making sure that you've got the right company to give you the right information so that you can make that decision for your home and your family. And again, I mean, thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to this episode specifically, because we went over a lot of very vital things with our industry moving forward. But again, hopefully that's just a testament to show that we will always be the ones to give you the right information first and foremost. And there's a lot of shady practices in our industry, which is why we're still here, you know, X amount of years later down the road when a lot of these big companies aren't necessarily. And so if anything, just know that we're going to keep on keeping on.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just a supply and demand thing. Simple economics. There's a huge demand for power. The supply is getting less or lessened by a couple of different factors. But yeah, it's power rates are going to go up. Everything's going up, right? Your gallon of milk prices is going up. Gas prices, everything in the country has gone up. And so what we're able to offer people is an option to get backup energy for their home, put a system up that offsets most, if not all, of their costs, and then be able to move forward with that fixed cost of what they paid for that system after the subsidies, to know and put a price and put a pin on power. You know, there are probably some of our old clients 3 years ago listening to this podcast and could not give a crap. Because it doesn't affect them whatsoever, right? Mm-hmm. If they've already got solar, they're locked in, they're good to go, they're golden. And so that's what I want to hear and want to see from everyone listening today, anyone that is interested 3 to 4 years from now. Like, I've already been locked in, I'm good to go, I made the right decision. And to touch on your point about Oasis Electric, absolutely. We are there to take care of not only our clients, but all the clients that all these other companies have signed up. And I think that this change could be really good for the industry as well, if it happens, because this fear is going to make people jump ship that don't have a ship that's strong enough to sail the seas. And so I think we're going to be in a good spot moving forward. I think the people are going to be in a good spot moving forward. And we just roll with the punches because that's what we do best.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you guys on and talking with Austin here about a very, very touchy topic. And hopefully we danced around it well enough.
Thank you guys again, lending us your ears. We do look forward to talking to you guys in the next episode of the Solar Power Hour.
See you next time.